What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is Steve Downes, the voice of Master Chief, Spartan 117, with an incoming message for Ryan Green and all who listen to the podcast, It Just Works. Let's finish the fight. Listen up. Chief, out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the It Just Works podcast. I'm your host, Ryan. And today's crazy. Happy Pokemon Day to everyone out there. This is the Pokemon weekend, essentially. I'm recording this on Sunday, March 1st, so happy March to everyone out there. One of the interesting things about all of this is that, for the most part, some of our predictions have finally come true when it comes to classic games. Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness is coming in March. I don't know why that's before Colosseum. All the usual suspects of the app games and all of their updates. So let's kind of jump into it, because a big thing I want to talk about today is Fire Red and Leaf Green and kind of the conversation around it, because I do think that at $20 it's perfectly fine. However, there's some things that really make you scratch your head, and we're going to get into that. So starting with Pokemon Day, just a huge celebration for the franchise, all the developers, the people who've made it and brought us all to this place to share what we love the most, which is the Pokemon franchise, obviously, if you're listening to this episode. And I think one of the things that I'd like to talk about is just how special it is. And I mean it's brought people together. It's trading, battling the cards, the same thing. Great memories of making friends in real life through Pokemon Go, online, 3DS. You know, one of the biggest things that I like to talk about is the Friend Safari with the X and Y games, and how that brought so many people together, because you had to add people to get different Safari zones, which had three Pokemon per zone, and every person's their code was tied to certain Pokemon. So one of them was like Charmeleon, for instance, and you had to add people that had Charmeleon as their code, because people would find out what they had, because obviously you could see your own zone. And it was just a really cool community thing that brought people together, and chats and forums and Instagram pages, which was the biggest thing back then, to add each other to shiny hunt, to catch certain Pokemon. And I think the franchise has really good moments where they can bring people together. And I'm just really grateful for it. And I'm grateful for any of you that I've met through these methods. Pokemon, we're celebrating 30 years. Kind of crazy when you really think about it. I remember the first time I got a Pokemon game is with my birthday money at a mall in Southern California. And I got the lime green Game Boy for my birthday, I think. And then with the birthday money that I received, I went and bought Pokemon Red. And the rest is history. And I had an amazing time playing those games. I still do till this day. Not Red, Blue, and Yellow. I got and Gold and Silver and Crystal. As much as I love the games, they're extremely hard to replay. It's almost like punishment to replay them that far out, which I'm not proud to say, because again, those are the games that started it all. And I think they're wonderful games, but I think I've played them enough throughout my life where I move on to the remakes, which we'll dive into the remakes and a hint, hint, as to a conversation for later. And, you know, I just think about how it started and where we're at now. And obviously at the end of the Pokemon Presents, we had our first look, which if you've seen the leaks, were pretty accurate. Like, I think 99% accurate. we got our first look at Pokemon Winds and Waves, Generation 10. We got to look at the starters, and I gotta say, guys, I'm so happy. And the reason why I'm happy is I've constantly said in previous episodes, if you're new here, that I just want a new region. I want a new region that has beautiful scenery, environments, biomes, just every adjective you can throw out there, or synonym for nature. I wanted it. I just want regional forms. Obviously, the new Pokemon are always going to be cool to have. I'm personally, I think 1,030 plus Pokemon in. I don't think we need any more. But at the end of the day, who am I to like stop creativity and allow the Pokedex to keep growing and have more fun with it? So that's kind of where I'm at with that. But I do think the starters look cool. So we have like a little bird. We also have a water gecko and then a fire Pomeranian. dog. And I gotta admit, as a fire trainer, the Pomeranian has my name all over it. Although I do feel like the other two, I think all three of them are gonna have amazing evolutions, and I really hope they don't let us down. I feel like the last two generations have been pretty freaking gnarly, to be honest. When you think of like, I think Sword and Shield had a gnarly ass, like, I think all three starters are terrible in terms of like what they end up being. I think Reboot is better than Cinderace, in my opinion. I think Rillaboom's fine. I think he's the best looking of them all. Inteleon just, I get the point of him, but I don't like it. And then, I don't know, it's really bad. And then the last one, I'm gotta be biased. I love fire Pokemon. I love alligators, lizards, reptiles, and of course, Fuecoco, Crocolore, I actually don't care for too much. I'd like his sombrero, but that's about it. I do think Skeledirge is one of the best looking Pokemon of all time. He's just a perfect design. I love him to death. I think Quackaval and that entire line sucks. Really disappointed in that. And you know what? Now that I think about it, I like Sprigatito and Meowscarada and Florigatito. I don't even remember the other one, the middle one. Anyways. Okay, so last generation is not terrible. I think like when you have a water duck, they could have done a lot better. I am not a fan of Quackaval. I try really hard because I think like his SIR is really sick, but that's like the extent of that. But yeah, so we got a bunch of updates as always for the Pokemon Presents. So let's kind of obviously get into it. I'm way off track here. Probably lost everyone by now. The handful of people that still listen to this. So yeah, we got our updates to like Pokemon Unite. We got the legendary birds coming to it. I was really disappointed. I mean, beyond disappointed, because I think Unite's really cool, and I'm really sad that they didn't do like a Switch 2 update. I think that like first party IPs need all, like, I think all of them need Switch 2 updates. When you think of Pokemon Unite, I think it's a great game. Like, I think it's such a badass MOBA. I'm not good at it. I only play it probably like once a year right now. I always talk about on this podcast how I wish I played it more, and I always tell Brian like we should play it. But there's no doubt about it. Like, it's a good game. Like, it's a really good game, completely free to play. Obviously you can buy the Pokemon you want to and their licenses, but that's a great game. You can play it on mobile as well. Pokemon Cafe is getting all the starters and little outfits. Pokemon Sleep is getting a Mew, special mission. And then looks like they tease Latios and Latias at the end. Pokemon Go is getting like their 30th or 10th anniversary, but 30th Pokemon anniversary little update where you can catch Mewtwo again, which is really cool because I feel like a lot of people are missing Mewtwo. Let's see what else. Pokemon TCG is getting a Celebrations 2.0 of some fashion. And two of the coolest things I think they teased, three things actually, sorry. Tag Team with Pikachu and Zekrom. Legends cards, which I think had Darkrai and Cresselia. I think I could be wrong on that. And then we had Palkia level X, which looks sick. And then the star of the show is Skyridge fucking Crystal Lugia. which is one of the best looking cards of all time in terms for especially for that Pokemon. I've never owned it. I've always wanted it I've wanted it really bad forever. So the fact that that's coming back is tremendous. The only thing that worries me about this as a Charizard fanboy is that they show base set Charizard for the millionth time, and I'm like, dude, you could have done Crystal, you could have done Gold Star, you could have done Plasma Storm, Shiny, you could have done Shining Charizard, Delta Species Charizard, which I think is a solid middle ground since you already have like Crystal Lugia, and a ton of other Shiny Charizards. I don't know. I'm like really, really butthurt if like they just release him again with just the 30th logo. So you'd have Celebrations with the 25th logo and then Celebrations 2.0 with the 30th logo. Like I think that is such a waste of a Pokemon, you know, getting his anniversary card, because obviously he needs to be a part of it. He's literally the most popular Pokemon in the entire franchise next to Pikachu. Like, and then like they showed jungle or base set Pikachu, and I'm like, dude, Gold Star Pikachu would be sick because it's a beautiful looking card. I think like they need to utilize these anniversary sets to give some of the highest dollar cards, highest rarity cards for specific Pokemon a chance to get in everyone's hands. No one's buying, you know, 99% of Pokemon TCG collectors are not buying Crystal Lugia. They can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't justify it at all. It doesn't make any sense. And then all the other cards I've named so far also don't make any sense for us to go buy singles for, because if you want like a near mint version, it's going to be thousands of dollars. And I think that they really should take advantage of this these anniversaries to reprint like legend like old school cards. I think it's the way to go. I hope that they really consider it. I don't see why they wouldn't. And so far we're on the right track. Like, I thought Celebrations was great. Most notably, in my opinion, is the Gold Star Umbreon. That you can only get that in pop cards or pop packs, which only had like 3 cards per pack, and they were like pop series packs that you would get in stores and like localized events. So you couldn't just like buy them like by the booster box. And then the old one was non-holo, whereas this one in Celebrations is holo. So like it's a significant card to be reprinted. I would have never owned it, and now I do. So I think that they should do that with Espeon this time, because there is a Gold Star Espeon, and I would absolutely cry and lose my shit if they do that. So I don't know. I think it's difficult. There's a lot of amazing cards. You have another Shining card that should come back. I think Mewtwo and Tyranitar are probably the top choices, or Gyarados, since they already did Magikarp. I think that would be epic, because Shining Gyarados is one of the best-looking Gyarados cards of all time. I mean, I can do this all day. If you look at like what we got in Celebrations and then how we want to translate that to Celebrations 2.0. So we'll see what happens there. We got Garchomp Z coming to Legends ZA. I think he looks great. He's just more of the same, but I think he looks really badass compared to regular Mega Garchomp. So you can do a mystery gift where they give you the quest to go battle him, and if you defeat him, you get his stone. So you can get yourself a Mega Garchomp Z, and I think you should, because I think he looks badass. Let's see, what else? Pokemon Masters EX has the original artwork of Red being released with Pikachu. It looks really cool. Problem is, it's a gacha game, so I don't really recommend it. I can't really recommend it. But there's a ton of events that they try to do to give you the free gems, the premium gems. So I'm sorry, I can recommend it. Just don't pay. Like, just play the game naturally. Someone who paid a lot of money for some of the stuff that I have from like years and years and years ago, I really wish I didn't do it. So that's up to you. I don't know if I've missed any other games yet. Have I missed anything? Someone tell me if I missed something. There wasn't any TCG live updates, which made me sad too, because I think like that game could desperately benefit from more content, like either in-game tournaments, where it could be like a basic tournament game mode where like a bunch of people sign up and they keep playing and, you know, go through brackets, and maybe they can earn extra rewards or exclusively stamped cards for a certain season. Maybe more of a campaign of sorts where people have like a quest to become the champion of the region through their building a deck. I don't know. I just feel like there's so much more that could be done with TCG Live, and I hope that they do it, because I think it's a great app. I love playing with decks and stuff. I have to make a new deck. My Mega Fralligator deck sucks. But yeah, I was hoping for at least, at the bare minimum, a Switch release. Let's see. We talked about the Netflix TV show. That didn't happen. Like, there was no update on that. No Detective Pikachu 2. Like, nothing media-wise was announced. They were going through announcements pretty fast, too, which I kind of appreciate. Because, again, we have, like, the traditional updates that we're going to get for the apps and stuff. And I feel like we got through it at a very good rate. But we also want to talk about, predominantly, in my opinion, so we already kind of touched on Gen 10. There's not really a lot to talk about besides the fact that I'm excited for it. I think it looks stunning. I think you should look at the trailer. And when we look at the trailer for Scarlet and Violet and then look at the trailer for this, I do think Game Freak is taking that criticism to heart and maybe hopefully really improving here. At the end of the day, this is just a trailer. So we're going to have to wait for the full release of the game and really, you know, make our judgments for ourselves. But I am hopeful. I want this franchise to succeed and evolve. And you know, if we're going to go to 3D games, like, we need to step it up and really showcase why these beautiful creatures and these regions and these characters and these experiences should be in 3D versus like a 2.5, like, super hyper HD game, like all of the Octopath Travelers in the, of the world, and the other one that's coming out that I really want called Ethan's something. I don't remember what it's called, but it comes out in June, I think. You can play the demo now. It's from Square Enix, but regardless, those kind of games, I think, like, you know, Pokemon could go back to or do spinoffs in, and people would love it. I know I would. But I want to really touch on Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green, my personal favorite games of all time, Pokemon-wise. I want to make sure and put that out there before we start this conversation, because, you know, I am biased in the sense of the games themselves. But as someone who works, and we are in an economy that's not wonderful, I think the argument that the games being $20 is, like, poor as shit. And the reason why I say that is, like, if you like Pokemon and you like these games, or you like the older games and maybe you missed out on these because they came out in 2004, you might have not been born yet, you might have just not, you know, mom and dad just didn't buy them for you when you were a kid. You know, that happened to a lot of us, with some games, not all of them, but some. I would tell you that the game, the amount of content that you get from this game, the hours you're going to get from this experience justifies the $20. Like, no doubt about it. The argument that people are making is that you could play through ROMs and emulators, which is technically against Nintendo standards, but I'm not judging, because I use a Game Boy Epilogue, GBA operator to put my GBA games on my computer. So that way I can play in, like, fast forward mode, and I can play with a controller on my monitor, but it's still the same save file that's on my cartridge. It's really cool, actually, how they do it. So I'm not judging people who play it for free. I also have the Delta emulator on my phone, which is freaking badass, because you can play all the crazy ROM hacks that people make, where they make these custom regions and custom storylines. Or, you know, if you've ever want to play, for instance, Fire Red and Leaf Green on super hard mode, you can look up Radical Red, and you can also expand the Pokedex. You can play with Pokemon that are like Skeledirge, for instance. Like, you can play with Generation 9 Pokemon and below. Like, it's insane what they've done with these games. So I can understand for a lot of players out there why it's tough to spend the 20. But if we're looking at a more traditional standpoint where you're not getting them for free through means that technically, you know, the companies would hope that you don't, your only other option is to buy the repro cartridges, which essentially falls into the same conversation as the ROMs. Like, it's not the original games, but it's close enough. But they actually have their own issues too, where they could glitch out and you may not be able to finish your games and all that. You might not be able to finish your save file, like, because it can be bugged. So if we're talking from traditional media and traditional releases, the only other way to play these games is paying like $100, $100+ for a cartridge. And then if you want it complete physically, it's like $400, because I have the box, the wireless adapter, the manuals, and all that. Both of my games, I think, are $400+ each or something like that. So if you're telling me that I can play it, which I do wish they were getting physical collections, like, I still want that. I wish we would have done that, gone that route. But if you're telling me I can play a $20 version of it on my Switch 2 handheld, you know, like, digital, and have Pokemon Home access, I would say the $20 is pretty great. However, there is some things that really make me scratch my head. I don't know why certain decisions were made, but some weren't. And I'd like to get into that first, because I think these are extremely important critiques that really need to be thrown out there, because I really want to know the why behind it. And we never will, probably. So there actually is a couple hidden updates to these ports that a lot of people are starting to notice, or notice right away, because one of them's right in the beginning. Back in the day, you could essentially name whatever Pokemon or your rival or your own character, whatever you wanted. You can use the most outlandish curse words. You can probably get creative and still be harsh with it. I don't know what you're putting. I used to put ass face, and I actually can still put that. I don't know why I just did. I made my rival ass face. Or dickhead. I don't know. Just really stupid, immature shit. But, you know, it's tradition at this point, so I still did it. But there's certain things you actually can't put, and the game auto-corrects you and filters you to back to their default name or something like that. So that's an update to the port. That was not in the original game. So at some point, they updated these for this process. The other thing that they did, which I think is remarkable, and I think it does need to be applauded, because I personally didn't think they would do it, just because, I don't know, it's the most simplest thing, but I really didn't expect them to do it. When you beat the Pokemon League and enter the Hall of Fame, spoilers ahead, oh my gosh, spoilers if you don't want this and you just want to experience it on your own, spoilers in 1, 2, 3. If you beat the Pokemon League and enter the Hall of Fame, in your inventory when you roll the credits and you're back in your home in Palutown, if you look at your key items, you'll see the Mystic ticket and the Aurora ticket. Now, if you didn't know, back in the day, you can take your game to a kiosk at specific events and receive these tickets through Mystery Gift. And then once you take them to Vermilion City and take the boat, you can, do three tremendous things. Catch the legendary Ho-Oh and Lugia at Naval Rock, which are some of the most iconic legendary Pokemon of all time. Huge fan favorites. Personally, I love them to death. But also a brand new mythical Pokemon from the Generation 3 era that is not shiny locked. None of them are, by the way. Nothing is before Generation 5. Deoxys. You can do like a very quick mini game, and you can encounter Deoxys at level 30, and you can completely soft reset until you have a shiny Deoxys. And it's going to be one of the most legitimate ways you can do it. And I think that experience alone is tremendous, because as someone who bought a DS cartridge, which exclusively has the tickets on it, so I can experience it on the games, because I was always mad and not mad, but like disappointed I couldn't experience it as a kid once I found out about it. You can now do it, and I think it's so cool. And I think it's great for everyone to get that experience, because these are incredible legendary and then one mythical Pokemon. But also found in the coding from a data miner was compatibility, as obviously, with Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. I forgot what the line of code was that they found, but it definitely leads me to believe that throughout this year, they're going to just sprinkle in the rest of the Gen 3 games, especially since we're already getting XD, Gale of Darkness, and Colosseum, which, again, I don't know why they didn't just do Colosseum first. Those games are going to be coming out. Like, we already know Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness from the trailer. Now we know XD's this month. But, I just realized there's a game I forgot to talk about in general. There was. It was Pokopia. Anyways, we'll talk about it in a little bit. So I'm hoping that means we get Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald. And I'm hoping that means we get the other ticket, which is the old C-Map ticket, I believe. And it allows you to go catch Mew legally as well. I just think these things are great for fans who want to experience what the rest of us did, or people who want to reignite their love for these games. One of the things I was saying before this 30th anniversary was that, you know, I think these are really good starting points for the Generation 3 era. For me personally, I've said it countless times. This is my first experience with a remake as a kid. And I remember just being blown away by the packaging, the games, the card, the TCG set that came along with it, and the Rocket set, which are both basically from this game. I couldn't believe that like something like this could be done. Technically, remasters in both the TCG and the VGC, or VG, you know, the video games. you know, I didn't think remakes would be a thing. I couldn't fathom and, you know, even come up with that idea as a kid. Because what, when these came out, 2004, what was I, like 11, I think? 11 or 12? I just didn't think anything like this. Like, I had a great, I still, to this day, I think have a pretty good imagination. But I didn't think of this stuff. So I'm really happy that this is the route they went. But one of the biggest whys that I want to get into, to wrap up the why before we get into why it's fun, I already jumped into fun. It's a great game. Go buy it. Is the fact that they clearly made updates to the name filter. They added the tickets, but they didn't add online capabilities to these games. Or, because I tested it out, unless I just did it at the wrong Poke Center, but I'm pretty sure you can use Brock's Pokemon Center. You can't trade backwards to the other games. It's like, I can't play an original Fire Red and trade with the Switch version of Fire Red. Unless I, again, did the wrong Pokemon Center. So I guess I'll test that again and update you guys. Which I thought was really disappointing because I have shiny Pokemon that I'd love to put on my Switch version. But now I'm shiny hunting this game as well. And I think the fact that they didn't do online capabilities was like the biggest mistake. And this is maybe where some people just have an issue with a $20 tag, because maybe they just don't have people to trade with in person, or they don't have a second Switch too because they didn't need it. So just trade themselves on both versions, which would have cost $40 to get some of these certain trade Pokemon, which are pretty damn popular when you look at Gengar, Alakazam, Steelix, Kingdra, Machamp, whoever else I can't think of right now, the Golem. I don't know. I definitely know there's someone else I'm missing. But anyways, the point is, I just feel like this could have been like an X and a Y moment where people can, you know, trade each other, become friends. And this also would have created the opportunity for people to do nostalgic tournaments with this exclusive Pokemon list and moveset. Before the special split as well, and like kind of take people back to where it used to be back in the day. I don't know. I was really disappointed about that. I still am like kind of holding out hope that there's an update for it, because I just think it's so stupid to not have online capabilities with these games. I can't imagine it would have been that difficult to add it, because everything else about the games besides what I talked about today so far is the same thing. Like, it's the same game that you played back then. Still badass. Once you get running shoes, by the way, oof. Before you get running shoes, it's kind of rough. But honestly, it's like an hour of gameplay. It's not that bad. So yeah, that's like the biggest why that really I scratch my head around, because I don't understand what the thought was behind that, which there might have not been any thought at all. Because I don't see how you missed the mark on that. Especially since I'm talking about how we could get the Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald games. Like, there should be online with that. And then I think another thing that really bothers me is that with Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, it's not going to be compatible with Fire Red and Leaf Green like they were traditionally with the GameCube and GBA. So unless that changes, but I think right now in the fine print on the trailer, it says it's not compatible. I don't know. I have to look. I saw someone else read it on a video, but maybe, oh, it was Austin John. So I think that it's not compatible. So there is some minor things that really make you go, why? But I think when you think of like the overall games, you can't go wrong. So that's my rant about Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green. There is some very questionable decisions being made. Do I still think it's worth the $20? Even taking away it's my favorite, you know, Pokemon games of all time. I think what you get to do in here is experience the definitive version of Kanto. You get access to the Sevii Islands, which allows you to capture Johto Pokemon. You get the Battle Tower. You get some of the Johto Pokemon, like I said, different battles. You get Johto music, which I think is so sick because the music sounds really good. You just get a few extra hours of content, but the Battle Tower obviously can go beyond that. That's just where I'm at. There's also some mini games you can play, but again, no online capabilities, so I don't know why they did that. Also, with the Sevii Islands, you can start breeding in the traditional way where you can place two Pokemon, because the breeder underneath Cerulean City still only takes one. I think that's it. I think they were worried about the censorship with gambling, but it's still in the game, so I think that's fine. I don't think I missed anything on Fire Red and Leaf Green, but if I did, please let me know. And then real quick, just to wrap this up, one game I did miss, which was Pokemon Pocopia, or Pocopia, whatever you want to call it, is the Pokemon Animal Crossing game that releases this Thursday, March 5th. I am fucking excited for this game. Unfortunately, it is like a destroyed Kanto region, but the game itself looks so fucking cool. The idea of like rebuilding and working together with other Pokemon to make like a village, a town, rebuild structures, build habitats, and it just seems like the perfect cozy game. There is so many games to play right now. But yeah, that's coming out on Thursday. I think it's going to be a good game. I already bought it, so I will be doing a review hopefully on it, or at least an impressions. I'm not really a reviewer. I'm not talented enough for that. But also, I just want to leave at the end that I will be doing a Bethesda-oriented episode with a Skyrim Switch 2 update. I've already talked about it a little bit, but I already put, I think, almost 8 more hours into it since I've talked to you guys last time. I've put in 3 to 4 hours on Fallout 4 Anniversary Edition for the Switch 2. Definitely want to talk about that because I have some thoughts on that. If you know, if you didn't know, Fallout 4 is just a game I don't necessarily hate, but I just don't look back at it fondly. Especially when like 76 is really won my heart over with its terrible launch to where it's at today. I just think it's a tremendous game now, and really sad with the state of things with the Fallout franchise. I think we should have got a remaster by now. But I'm all about the Switch 2. That's pretty much what I'm playing on a regular basis. So there will be a It Just Works update coming up probably on Wednesday. So keep an eye out for that. If you like this episode, let me know. You can follow me on all socials at It Just Works Podcast. If you have any questions that you want me to answer, I miss viewer questions desperately. Please consider writing in and I will answer it. If you have any critiques or criticisms, please let me know. I'm happy to hear from you guys. If you liked what you heard today, or if you didn't like, please consider leaving a review on Apple or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, because it helps me grow and technically get paid. So anything you guys can do to help goes a long way. But yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday with the It Just Works episode. And I just appreciate all of you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your weekend and good week. And we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.